I'm recording you guys. Amen. Okay, here we go. I'll get this going. All right, we are going to go to Genesis chapter 12. Let's just pray again. Father, thank you that we have the Bible. Thank you we have the Word of God. May, Lord, it be enriched in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Genesis chapter 12. So we are going to come to another covenant, which is the Abrahamic covenant. We have gone through the Edenic covenant, which was God put basically one command in the garden. He planted the garden eastward of Eden. He also put two trees there. One was the tree of life, one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave man a free will. Man chose evil, and then you end up outside the garden. Then God speaks to Adam and Eve, who are now ashamed. You have the Adamic covenant, which is a judgment that is unconditional because it's put upon the earth. So the earth now was cursed. The man will sweat. Women will obviously labour in childbirth and so forth, which we looked at. The serpent was to crawl on the ground, but God spoke to Satan and he made it very clear of the first promise dealing with the seed, and the seed would bruise his head. Now, obviously, therefore, the seed became under the magnifying glass of Satan. If you put it this way, he's fallen. We're now moved from innocence, from the garden. We're now outside of that garden. We're into a place called conscience. This is where you see the illustration of the Lamb of God. Sin has to be paid for something innocent. And then you realize Abel's offering, and then there was Cain's offering, which we're not doing, obviously, today, but they're under conscience. But period of conscience gets up to Genesis chapter 6, and man is continually choosing evil because man has allowed Satan to use the fallen angels to go in under the women, because Satan wants to intermingle with that seed, and therefore it grieved God. It grieved God because man was continually evil. He said, I'm going to destroy all flesh from the face of the earth, which I'll come to in a moment. And that was the Noahic covenant, and then you end up in the human. We'll continue that in a moment. So let's come to Genesis as a way of introduction here to Genesis. I'm going to go through Genesis and right through to Genesis 15. I'm going to jump a little bit. But now what's basically happened is that we've moved now after the flood, okay? So this is where we're at. Here we have Abraham mentioned. If you remember, the covenants are mentioned by name to Adam, to Noah. And now we have the first covenant was in Eden, the Garden of Eden, so it's mentioned as Eden. Now we move up to Abraham. I'm going to use the term Abraham here. Abraham is now after the flood. And of course, the earth withstood that flood. Just remember that. So the flood that God sent under Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness, the earth withstood the flood. But the breath of life, what happened to the breath of life? It perished. Except those that entered the ark. Ark was lifted above judgment when it came. So just remember, the ark was lifted. It came back down. Now you have what's called human government. So here we have now, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So we're moving into what's called promise now. We've moved from human government. We're moving into the dispensation of promise. So God here gives Abraham a promise about the land. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great. So he says here to Abraham, he says, I'll make thee a great nation. Now, obviously, we haven't gone through the genealogies of Abraham, but he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Also, he says, I'm going to make a great name, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Notice he says, all families in thee. Okay, now, if you just think with me for a moment, the ark was a picture of Christ, okay? The Abraham covenant will become more relevant to us in the church age because it is before the law is added and it is before Israel exists, because Israel is the name of a man called Jacob. It comes from Isaac. So Israel does not exist at this point of time. So God is speaking to Abraham. All the families of the earth will be blessed in Abraham. So this is why this covenant will apply to us as we go through later on. But I'm going to stick within the context of where we're at. So here Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So he's left. Now look in verse 9 with me for a moment. I'm just going to jump through this a little bit. It would be good if you read these chapters later. And Abraham journeyed going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn, and there, and the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman. So he is. So what's happened here is that they passed through the land in verse 6. They've gone through the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So we are dealing now with God's going to show Abraham a lamb. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed, and that's verse 7, will I give this land, and there build he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So the Abrahamic covenant is sometimes called the Palestinian covenant. It's dealing with the land, okay? So sometimes you'll hear that mentioned. But there was a famine. Isn't it amazing how God uses the earth to direct us? He's gone down into Egypt. It's a picture of what did Joseph do with Jesus Christ when Herod appeared in those times? Where did they hide Jesus? In Egypt. Okay, they took him down to Egypt before they came back to the earthly ministry. And it came to pass, when he was come near into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Now, so Abraham's been given a blessing. He knows from his seed that there'll be a nation, it'll be blessed. But now he's in Egypt. He knows that Sarah is a fair woman. And he says in verse 12, there it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, and but they will save thee alive. Now, Abraham's lying here. Now, the big problem here is that if the Egyptian take Sarah and go into her, then what's going to happen with the seed? Yeah, intermingled. So watch what happens. So here with the seed from Genesis 3:15, I got to remind you that God is going to protect the seed. He's going to hide it. Even though he wiped all the breath of life off the earth through the flood, there are 8 souls saved on the ark, so therefore the seed will come from Noah, obviously. So here he lied, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me. So I think Brett mentioned this, and it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, and the princess also Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entered Abraham well for her sake, and he had sleep and oxen and his asses. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh. And this is verse 17. So here the Lord is going to protect Sarah, and the Lord plagues Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Abraham, what have you done here? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now, therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. Pharaoh commanded his men. So here you see the seed again being protected. And Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him. So now he's left that. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abraham and his flocks, this is chapter 13, and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, so, and my herdmen. So it's not the whole land before thee, separate thyself. So cutting it short, Abraham gives Lot the choice. And so Lot lifted up his eyes. He takes the plain that he notices there, well watered, before the Lord, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So the place where Lot goes is where Sodom and Gomorrah will be. And even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, in verse 12. Notice that. So even though there was a strife between Lot and Abraham, Abraham gives the choice to Lot. Lot chooses that. It's funny how let the lot be in the Lord's hand. Let him cast the stone, because Lot chooses that. Abraham ends up in the land of Canaan, which is the land that God wants to show him, amen? So right here, you can see that God made a covenant with Abraham about the nations. He blesses Abraham, but he also curses Pharaoh because of the lie that Abraham made to protect the seed. Now there's a choice here. Abraham does the right thing, yet it turns out that he allowed Lot to make the choice, but now he's landed up in the land of Canaan. Now, what is the land of Canaan, everyone? The promised land. That's the land of Israel, isn't it? So Abraham he's going to look at this land. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. So Abraham's covenant is an eternal covenant, because here the promise is given to Abraham that it's for his seed forever. So therefore, once again, the devil got in. The devil uses lies. That lie was to cause Abraham to give his wife to Pharaoh. And of course, another way then that Satan could mingle with that seed would have been for Pharaoh to take her as his wife, because you realize that if Abraham is blessed with the seed, that has to include Sarah as well, because you can't have a seed and fruit without just the male. You've got to have both male and female, amen? So Sarah is just as important in the covenant as Abraham is, because Sarah is going to bring forth a child in her latter age. Where does the seed end up in the New Testament? Yeah, but in who? Mary. A woman, the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman. So think about that, the seed of the woman. So here you can see the devil was trying to mingle with the seed there in Genesis chapter 6. Man continually chose evil. God sent the flood, judged them. The breath of life was wiped off the face of the earth. Those in the ark were saved. Then you come into now the promise given to Abraham. Abraham is given the promise of the land and his seed. We see also in Genesis the devil is still attacking. By the way, who is the father of lies, everyone? Satan. Satan, okay? He's the father of lies, amen? Where did it begin? In heaven. When he said, I will be like the Most High. Now, that's a lie, Satan. You won't be like the Most High. You might think that. And so he goes, and I'll make thee thy seed of the dust of the earth. And then we keep going down through here, and I'll go down. And then Abraham removed his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. And then we move into chapter 14. And if you read chapter 14, you're going to come across the kings. You're going to come across the battles that they're having. So you're under human government. But in Genesis chapter 14, we're now given the revelation of the king of Salem, who is the priest of the Most High God. This is important because now you're moving from human government, which began after what? After the flood. Yeah, after the flood or after the Noahic covenant. So the human government starts after the flood. Just think of that. When did the human government start? At the end of promise. So on earth, man was continually dwelling in evil. Their heart continually imagined vain things, and God had repented almost that he made man. So that's where you get the flood. Yet in the ark, those that got on the ark were saved. God saves the seed. You come under the human government. Abraham is given a promise from God. And under that time after the flood, we have a representative from heaven who has neither beginning nor days nor end, which is Hebrews chapter 7, when you read about the king of Salem. So let's pick up the king of Salem here. And without going through the whole thing in this chapter, what happened to Lot was caught up in the war of the kings here. He's taken away. They tell Abraham. Abraham goes and rescues them, Lot and his family. And therefore, Abraham in this is victorious in these battles here. And in verse 17 of chapter 14, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Chelamir or something or other of the kings that was with him at the Vale of Sheva, which is the king's dale. So this man has come out to see Abraham. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread, wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Think about this. We have a priest from heaven. He's bringing out bread and wine. This is the true. Here, right here, we have this. And now notice what happens. And in verse 18, he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. So who blesses Abraham? Yeah, through who? Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God. Isn't that interesting? And I want you to get that you have a representative on God on earth after the flood. Amen? After the flood, we have Melchizedek. He has no beginning of days nor end, as if you did the study on him. But he is the one who blesses Abraham. Abraham, who's given the promise. So the promise is given to Abraham. That's why it's called the Abrahamic Covenant, about his seed and the land. After the war here, we see Melchizedek blesses Abraham, and then Abraham, and he said, and blessed be the Most High God, which have delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. So right here, Abraham worships God, gives the tithes he got, I would say, from the battles that the victories he won here, gives the tithes to Melchizedek. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. So the king of Sodom says to Abraham, after Abraham has been blessed, after Abraham has given his tithes to the priests of the Most High God, the king of Sodom comes up with this little plan, and he says, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I just worship God for giving me the victory. I just thank the Most High God. I thank him. I thank his representative on earth. I've been blessed. I've given my tithes to Melchizedek. Now, king of Sodom, you're asking me to do something. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. So there is no doubt that after the flood, does man know who God is? Amen. So God is in the conscience of men. Don't worry about that, even after the flood. That I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. And you know, you really got to be careful in the Christian life that if God blesses you, you make sure you give him the glory. Don't give the glory to this world and their little ways of doing things, amen? Like I was thinking about Jan and I coming up here. Oh, just give God the glory. He got us up here. Wasn't anything to do with anything else. So we should always give God back the glory. And he goes on. So here we have this idea then of Abraham's given a covenant. It's to do with his seed. It's to do with the land. The land is the land of Canaan, as you know. There's a victory here. It's under the time of, it's under a time of human government. It's a time where you have a representative from heaven called Melchizedek. It's a time before the law. It's a time where they gave tithing before the law, as noticed here with Abraham. It's also a time of under grace because we haven't come to the Mosaic law yet. So when you look at this thing, I want you to keep in mind here something, and let me transgress a little bit as we start to move into the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant has three parts. We're only going to do one part to it today. That's the introduction. Then we're going to talk about the dust, the stars, and his name. So we're going to look at those three things later on as we go through this. But I want you to remember, if I want you to keep in mind here, so in 2 Peter 3, 5, and 6. So 2 Peter, let's write that up here, 2 Peter 3, 5 to 6. And then we have, I'll put that there. So after the flood, this is Noah's flood. After the flood, you have, what's the dispensation we're under after the flood? That's the covenant. After the flood, we're in human government. After the flood. So how many souls got off the ark?
Eight.
Okay, so they get off the ark, and then we end up in human government. Abraham's given the promise, which we're beginning now. Now, when the flood came, did the earth endure the flood? It did, didn't it? It endured the flood. What perished under Noah's flood? The breath of life, except for those who entered the ark. Now, the ark's a picture of who? Jesus Christ. So if you're in Jesus Christ, so if you're in the ark, did you perish? No, you didn't perish, all right? So in 2 Peter, this will help you with your Bible, in 2 Peter 3, 5 and 6, it talks about that the earth that was then, past tense. And so in Genesis 1 and say verse 2, the earth in Genesis 2 that was then, without form and void, what happened to it? It perished. So the word is perished in 2 Peter 3, 5 and 6. Read what the Bible says. Not it perished. Okay? It perished. Okay? This earth here under the flood from with Noah, it did not perish, it endured the flood. But however, the breath of life perished except those that got on the ark. Except. So that covenant there was conditional of you entering that ark. Would you agree? This is important to really get this down in your thinking, because the ark, therefore, is a picture of Jesus Christ. Now, what does John 3:16 say? Believeth him shall not. Okay, who can tell me what John chapter 10:28 says? John 10:28. You're getting close. I'll read you John chapter 10:28. So he's talking about in his Father's hands. Okay, and you have a turn. Huh? Okay, so let me read this to you. Let me read it clearly here. You really need to take this clearly in your mind, what the Bible says, because he says, and I give unto them, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay, that's us. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never, what? Perish. So John 10:28, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. So when they entered the ark, who shut the door? God did. So therefore, if a person trusts Jesus Christ, will they ever perish? Except they get saved, they will perish. You've got to remember this. This is what Christianity is. Christianity is being in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, the ark. Now, as we've gone over this lesson, presently, presently in the New Testament, you had the seed, you had Jesus Christ. He was called Emmanuel, God with us, was the term God tabernacled, God in flesh. He was on this earth. He was God manifest in the flesh. When we get saved, we get in Jesus Christ. And what are we called now? Where does God dwell? In the believer, both Jew and Gentile. So now we are the temple of the living God. Amen. He takes us out. As judgment comes down, a picture that will be taken out before the great tribulation. Before judgment comes, we're lifted up, taken out. So you know that. Keep that in mind. I think you already know those things. So it's important to remember that a person who does not receive Jesus Christ will perish. Think about it. Think about the severity of what I'm saying. Not about going to your little Christian church. About receiving Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And that's important to remember, perished. So as we come through the Abrahamic covenant, I just want to give a little bit of a thing out. Now that piece of paper I gave you, and then I'll finish off this in a moment, this piece of paper I gave you with the dispensations, it's important for you guys to learn it, because what I want to say to you here, and this is important, as we move into the Abraham covenant, we are going to deal with the land. Also, Abraham covenant's going to be more relevant to us because it was before the law was added. We're under grace. And I want you to remember that God had a covenant relationship with Israel, not with the Gentiles. So think about that. God had a covenant relationship with Israel, not the Gentiles. Keep that in mind. The Davidic covenant is the throne of David, the new covenant. Think about that. So God has a covenant relationship with Israel. at the moment, as we come into the Abrahamic covenant, Israel does not exist because Jacob is not born yet, okay? So we're in a time of promise. But it's leading into the fact that God's relationship with Israel is going to be a covenant. Because who is the land for? Abraham's seed, which is then Jacob, and then Jacob is called Israel, and then you get the promised land, okay? But in the New Testament, it's more for the Gentiles because Israel's cast off. So it's for the Jew and the Gentile in one body. So that's why he says in Ephesians 2:11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision, the Jew, in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." So to the Gentile then, we had no hope. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the covenants and promises given to the Jew. Does that make sense? But when we get in Jesus Christ, a picture of the ark, what happens? "Now in Jesus Christ, who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So the Gentiles are the Lord Jesus Christ's inheritance. Because right at the moment, it's the Gentiles who is receiving Jesus Christ. But generally, the Jew is what? What's happened to the Jew? Yeah, they cast off, they're blind. We'll come to that later. So here's the idea here then. As we're coming into the Abrahamic covenant, I want you to understand that we're moving into a place where God's relationship with Israel has to do with the covenants. Right at the moment, the covenants don't deal with Israel. We're starting to see it, but they're not there yet. So the Abrahamic covenant will have a lot more to do with us because we are at the moment in what dispensation? The Mosaic? We're in grace, aren't we? What's Abraham? He's under grace. No law. There's no law here. Abraham's under grace. And we are under grace. True? Is the law eternal or temporal? Okay, so it's temporal. The promise here given to Abraham is eternal. Human government, which we saw, will come to an end. Consciousness came, that period came to an end. By how did this period come to an end? By the flood, and then you have the human government. After the flood, then you have Abraham. Abraham's given the promises. The law is added. What did the law do? It kept them until the seed came. Okay, we'll get to all that. So the law was a temporary period of time until Jesus Christ came. The generations of Jesus Christ turn up in Matthew chapter 1 of the first chapter of the New Testament. Then you have grace. We're under grace at the moment. And then the millennial. So we're under grace at the moment. So this is why Abraham is going to have a lot more to do with us to speak with than it's going to have to do with Israel. Now let's come through this and let me show you. So let's have a look at this. So when the Lord spoke to Abraham, what did he do? He said, "Get thee out of thy country." Did Abraham wait? They got out. So Abraham's covenant was based upon what? His obedience. So if God tells you to do something, are you going to wait for him or are you going to obey him? Amen. So this is why Abraham has a lot to do with us. If he tells you to do something, obey him. So I was talking to Jason about King Arroy, say, for example. God told us to come up here. Obey him. That's what faith is. We're not meant to be controlled by a religious system as we are to obey him. So Abraham is going to become the father of us all. So in the principle of Abraham, Abraham left his family, he got out, and he did what God told him to do. So the Abrahamic covenant really begins with obedience. And of course, that's important for us to realize that we're not under the law, we're under grace, yet like Abraham, we are then to obey God. The second one here is that, let me just come back to my pages here. So he stepped out. He stepped out by faith. Now, the second one to remember, they that were saved under the Noahic law, what did they do? It was conditional on what? Of entering the ark, wasn't it? It was conditional. So when we're dealing with God, it's conditional on our obedience because God has given us a free will. In the garden, what was the covenant based upon, the Edenic covenant, what was it based upon really? Obedience, wasn't it? Just simply to their obedience. After the garden, what was the two offerings based upon? Yeah, one brought the right offering, one brought the wrong one. Obedience. So in the day and age we live in, to go to heaven, what must we do? Obey God and receive his son, Jesus Christ. And if you do, you'll be like Noah here and the ark. So it's important then to realize that when you're going through these covenants, it's based upon our obedience. And now the one of the Adamic covenant was unconditional because of the because of judgment, it was unconditional. That's the way that thing was set up. Then you, obviously, we've covered that. Now, have a look with me in chapter 12, verse 10, everyone, for a moment. So I want to talk about your enemy here. So do you and I have an enemy? Okay, what's his name? The devil, okay. Now, Abraham stepped out by faith to begin with, but what happens in chapter 12, verse 10. Okay, so he leaves. So there's a famine. He goes where? Into Egypt. And what happens in Egypt? He said, well, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. There it shall come to pass that the Egyptians shall see thee. They shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee. What is Abraham's fear here? What's the enemy, really? Fear. What's our enemy? Fear. What do we stumble at? Fear. And what did Abraham do to cover his fear? He lied. Then what did God do? He said, right, Abraham, that's enough. I've got to protect the seed here because I'm going to give you the promises, Abraham. And no, Pharaoh is not going to go into Sarah. This is not my plan. So this is not my plan of the things to come. So therefore, God gives no rest to Pharaoh who realizes he's in trouble. Now, if you don't have peace about something, check the Lord. See whether it's of God or not. It's pretty simple stuff, isn't it? So check whether this thing, I have faith in God and let God have the outcome. Now, so often what we need to do, like Abraham, and this is going to be important with the covenant, we must obey God. Okay, so we obey him. Once you step out by faith, you are going to stumble at fear and doubt. Do we all do that? But what we need to do is allow God to have the outcome. What do you mean? Well, if you're obeying God to do something, then just leave the outcome in his hands. Don't try to get ahead of God, because this is what happens. Because we fear about the outcome, so therefore we get ahead of him, and therefore we lie, and we could have made a whole mess here, Abraham, because Pharaoh could have transgressed and gone into Sarah, and that would not have been a good thing. recently, we have the Olympics at the moment, and there's an Australian high jumper. And after each high jump that she was doing, she would write in her little journal, and she would write each step that she'd taken for the jump. And she said, "I also write verses." And the verses she was using was about the love of God. You know what she was doing? She was having a private devotion with her Lord, and the outcome was not the issue. It was her faith in God, and she would do her jump. And then she'd write verses. One TV station told the truth. The other TV stations cut out the fact that she was putting her faith in God. And you know the interesting thing about her? She got a silver medal. It wasn't about the outcome. It was about her devotion to God in the thing she was doing. And she was writing down the verses and the faith in God. We need to do the same. We need to be like, we need not like Abraham, where he feared and stumbled. If we trust God and obey him, allow God then to take out the outcome. Because really, you know what the outcome really is when we put our faith in who? Jesus Christ. What is the outcome for all those who have received Jesus Christ? What's the outcome? Salvation and lifted eternal life and lifted above judgment. That's the outcome. Oh, no, but brother, no, brother, your doctrine's wrong. We are going to go through the tribulation. And you realise that God's not going to, God's going to take us through this. What a load of baloney. Right there you see that in Jesus Christ, God has the outcome in his hand. We're safe in him. He's given us eternal life forever. Amen. What a load of stinking nonsense when everyone is worried about what's going to happen here, because you and I one day are going to die. Amen. What does it really matter then? Nothing. But what does matter is that we put our faith in God and we obeyed him and we received Jesus Christ by way of grace, which we have. And so therefore we do not need to worry about the outcome. We need to just put our faith and trust in him. So Abraham did another thing here that I thought was really important for us, and this is devotional as we get into this covenant. Abraham also protected the testimony of the Most High God, because in Genesis chapter 4, 23, Abraham was going to protect that testimony, and what did he do? He said, "I'm not going to take anything from you, from the king of Sodom," because he didn't want to put a bad name towards God, who was the one who had given him the promise that his seed was going to be blessed forever. And I think Abraham learnt the lesson of when he feared in Egypt. Now we know, as we go for Abraham and Sarah, they're going to mess up again. Do you remember how they're going to mess up again? They're going to get ahead of who? God again, okay? Now this is why when we get to Abraham, we're going to need to talk devotionally and we're going to need to talk dealing with the promises. Now, because Abraham is before the law, because Abraham is before the nation Israel, because Jacob is not born, we then can obviously take heed to the covenant that's given to Abraham, because Abraham is going to be given two covenants: the dust of the ground, the seed, and as the dust of the stars, dealing with faith. So faith is the issue here, and faith is going to be the issue right through the whole Bible. No one ever got saved by good works. No one ever got saved by the law. Man got saved by faith in who? God. What did Job say, the oldest book in the Bible? Huh? "I know that my Redeemer liveth." And when was Job written? Under human government? After the flood. So Job is written in that period of human government. There was Melchizedek, there was the priest of the high God, and right there Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and he will disperse it to those who put their faith and trust in him. Were they to keep the law? Yes, they were. They were to keep it. They were a peculiar people. And by keeping the law, they were protected, and therefore they could worship God into the place that he'd have them to go. So if you look at this, if you look at Abraham, what was Abraham known for in the New Testament? Can anyone tell me? Yeah. Abraham, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Do you want to know how to be a friend of God? No, just believe him. Just believe him. That will make you a friend of God. Just believe him. I mean, it's so stupidly simple. Just believe the Lord. Trust him. Believe him. Don't believe in the outcome. Just believe in him. And Abraham believed God, and it was imputed for righteousness. So when we believe God, God imputes righteousness to us. When we believe the word of God, what is God doing? He's imputing his righteousness to us because we believe what the Bible says. Amen? So we believe what it says. So, I'm going to put a challenge to everyone. Do you really believe what this book says? Really? Who's your biggest fear? How about the brethren? Because what if you come across the brethren who don't want to believe 2 Peter, which clearly says the earth that was then perished? Do you believe that the earth perished in Genesis chapter 2? Yea or nay? Well, it did, according to the Bible. Because the Bible what? Says it. It says it. So let's come to 2 Peter, and this is a good lesson for us. Let's come to 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, this is a challenge. I'm challenging everyone here today on believing the book. And this is where the issue starts. People don't believe the Bible. It's funny how that they can believe that Jesus Christ can save them, and that's about it. So, what do we go second? So let's have a look at 2 Peter. So 2 Peter here. Let's come back over. Back. Chapter 3, and I've got down... So let's come to verse 4. Let's pick this up in context. He says, now, Peter writing about the epistle, when Peter wrote, he wrote a long time ago, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So there's the promise of his coming. The Bible's full of promises. Jesus will return again. As the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So nothing's changed. Keep that in mind. By the way, this earth endured the flood, and man is not going to wipe it out by climate change. Amen? Can I get an amen out of you? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is because we believe the book. You can forget your stupid nonsense about the earth being that we're going to perish off the face of the earth. No, God will keep us by his word because he's given us promises and covenants. One of the covenants when he first flooded this place was what did God put in the sky to show us that he won't judge the world by what? Water. A rainbow, okay? So when you see the rainbow, think about God's judgment. He's not going to judge us by water. Then Peter says, for this they willingly are ignorant. You know, that is the big problem I find today. Why do Christians in particular want to be ignorant when it comes to the Bible? Why stay in a place of ignorance when you can learn and study the Bible? Oh, but Brother Simon, that's just too hard. yeah, well, you probably put a lot of hard effort into other things. Why don't you put some hard effort into this? Because this is the word of God. So he says, ignorant of that, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. And the key there is the world that was and standing in out of the water, yeah, being perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now. So what earth are we on now, everyone? Second Peter 3, verse 5. So read it. Yeah, we're on the second earth. And it endured the flood, didn't it? But did the breath of life endure the flood under Noah's time? No, they perished. But who did not perish under the flood in Noah's time? They entered the ark, amen? So for us, then, Jesus Christ is the ark. He's our Passover. We're in him. We will not perish. So right here, he's saying that therefore there was the water in the water. So it perished. So this earth has not perished. Then he goes on, the heavens that are earth, which are now, by the same word are kept. What do you mean? Well, this earth is kept in store. What do you mean? It's not kept that climate change is going to wreck it. It's not kept that we're going to destroy the earth by how much we take from it. It's kept in store, reserved unto what? Fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So God will judge this earth the second time. How's he going to judge it? By fire. Guess what's going to happen to it the second time it gets judged by fire? It perishes. Because then God will make a new heaven and a new earth. So we have three earths. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Amen to that. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, here's the key. Because was God long-suffering in the days of Noah? Do you know how long that was? 120 years. He was not willing that any should perish, but what should have they done? Entered the ark. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? So understand, when you look at the Noahic covenant, we had the flood. We had the earth. Those on the earth perished. Those in the ark were saved. You then have the human government. You have God's representative on the earth, which is now Melchizedek. Now God is going to give promises to Abraham, and we're going to enter into the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham, remember, Abraham's covenant was before the law is added. Abraham is also under grace. The promises are given before the nation Israel, because Jacob has not been born yet, who becomes Israel. So keep that in mind. So when we're dealing with the Abrahamic covenant, it's before what? Come on, Jace, you know. And it's under? Okay. And what dispensation are we under now? So that's why the Abrahamic covenant is as much to do with us as it's to do with Israel to come in Genesis, you know, Israel, because Israel and the promised land. The Abrahamic covenant is dealing with us also, because it is before the law. Okay, any questions? I can see.